what it do, what it is, what you're working with. Nah, what's up, y'all? Of course, it's your girl Sheree, back with another episode of the MIM podcast, Music Is Me. You know, welcome. If you've been, you know, following me since I've started this, you know, last episode, you know, I've talked about, you know, a lot of albums that were celebrating like their 25th anniversary. Got into, you know, some Miss Beyonce, Giselle Knowles Carter. Also, you know, talked about some other things, like the God Did verses and everything. But this episode, you know, of course, is still, you know, going to be what it's mainly about, you know, music. But I also kind of want to get into sports, because, you know, like I said, if you have been following me since the beginning, then you know that this podcast, even though, you know, mainly it's going to be about music, but, you know, also going to tap into, you know, sports, world news, you know, things of that nature. But other than that, you know, just to kind of like get it kicked off, one thing that I guess I've like seen, and I'm pretty sure, you know, some people out there, y'all probably seen it too, even though it hasn't really been confirmed by Timbaland and Swiss Beatz, the whole verses between Jermaine Dupri and Diddy, or rather, you know, So Def and Bad Boy. Now, you know, in the beginning, I think a lot of people had, you know, kind of wanted to see maybe Bad Boy versus like Death Row, or maybe like just Diddy versus Dr. Dre. You know, I even think Diddy like kind of wanted it to be like him going up against Dr. Dre. But I don't think people really realize like the amount of hits that Jermaine Dupri has. You know, granted, yeah, you know, he has So Def, you know, he has Escape and Crisscross and Jagged Edge and Bow Wow and, you know, Brat. But a lot of people, you know, don't really like know, of course, you know, he has Usher, you know what I'm saying? He has Mariah Carey. I mean, just those two alone, I feel like he can definitely like match up against Diddy, you know what I'm saying? Of course, I'm just going to assume that it's probably like a coastal thing, because of course, a lot of the talk that I've seen, especially, you know, people from the East Coast is like, oh man, he can just put on Biggie, you know, like Ready to Die, like Life After Death, and oh man, it's over. And I'm just like, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know what I'm saying? Like, I fuck with Biggie, you feel me? Like, I do fuck with Biggie, but at the same time, I mean, JD has Confessions. You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, it's in two different, you know, musical categories, but when it comes to, you know, hits, he can put on Confessions. He can put on, you know, anything that he had, you know, with Jay-Z. You feel me? Like, JD has, you know, he has a discography that really can't be fucked with. It can't. It really can't. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm, you know, riding, you know, for JD, because it's, you know, kind of like a coastal thing, you know, the South versus the East Coast. But I do, you know, feel like he'll give Diddy a run for his money. And whenever they announce that, you know, officially, hey, man, I'm going to be head first, you know what I'm saying? But I don't even know what's going on with Versus, because it's definitely been on a hush-hush. You know, the last thing that, you know, I've heard or, like, read about was the whole, I guess, like, legal stuff that's been happening between them and Triller, and Triller not, you know, making the payments like how they're supposed to be making the payments. And I think, like, I don't know if Fight is with Triller, but, you know, I think they, you know, were, like, thrown into, so... Yeah, man. So, you know, hopefully they can, you know, get it worked out. Because I mean, Versus was and still is kind of like one of the things that a lot of people like were looking forward to. Just, you know, something just to kind of watch, you know, so outside of like stuff that's on, you know, Netflix, outside of like, you know, sports, outside of like reality shows and shit like that. Like, it definitely, you know, kind of gave us like a glimpse of what, you know, two particular artists, of what, you know, like their like discography, like what it was about, you know what I'm saying? And like, I've been like watching Versus since like the very beginning when, you know, COVID was, you know, on and popping, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we were in quarantine and all of that. And like, I remember, you know, the very first, I guess, like you can say Versus, when it was just Tim and Swiss, and, you know, they was just on, you know, live and kind of going back and forth, you know, with their hits. And then, you know, it turned into, you know, what it is now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to be honest, I kind of liked how it was in the beginning. Just because it was just really on some like authentic, you know, just, it wasn't like real, like performative, you know what I'm saying? Like how it is now. But it was really on some, you know, people, you know, in their house or in their studio and just playing music, you know what I'm saying? Just playing music. And, you know, what's funny is that, like, what's the saying that they always say? It's like, they'll laugh at you, but then, like, they'll imitate you. Because I remember when it was Babyface and Teddy Riley, and, you know, Teddy had, like, a whole fucking, like, band, you know what I'm saying, behind him. And, you know, like, the whole little meme, the infamous meme, like, him, you know, looking, trying to figure out what the fuck was going on. Like, he was, like, the first one that started that shit. And then, like, now, you know, look where it's gotten. You know what I'm saying? And that was, like, really, like, kind of, like, my one of my favorite verses. Like, them, Jill Scott and Erykah Badu, that was, like, definitely one of my favorites. Like, man, let me tell you. I, like, still to this day, like, whenever I'm kind of in a mood or I'm in the moment, and I'm just like feeling down, like I'll go on YouTube and I'll pull up that Versus, because just that whole vibe. I mean, Jill Scott alone, like, it was just so, like, you know, airy. It was so just mellow. And like, I don't know, for some reason, like, it was like inspirational. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just felt good. It made you feel good. And I think, you know, that's kind of like what speaks to like neo soul, you know. And I'll definitely get into that a little bit later, but they were like one of my favorites. Of course, Brandy and Monica, Escaping SWV, man, the Isley Brothers, and I always want to say the Gap Band, but it's not the Gap Band, Earth, Wind and Fire. But yeah, man, I mean, you know, in the beginning when, you know, they had, like, I think it was, like, Nelly and Ludacris, and you had Neo and Jonte Austin and T-Pain and Lil Jon, and, like, they had, like, a gospel one where I think it was, like, Kirk Franklin and, like, Fred Hammond. Like, that was a really good one. I didn't really watch, I think there was, like, a Latin one. I didn't really watch that because I'm not really that up on, you know, Latin music. So I don't even remember, like, who it was. Then I think they had like a reggae one where it was like Beanie Man and I think it was Buju. I can't really remember, but I know it was Beanie Man. And I think like they were like the first ones that had like where it was both of them together. And then, you know, Snoop and DMX. Now that one I really didn't understand. I didn't really understand like Snoop. Now, don't get me wrong, like, I can understand, like, the, I guess, like, the whole, like, dog relation, you know what I'm saying? I can understand that, but I just feel like Snoop and DMX, they were kind of like on two different, you know, like wavelengths, you know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, I mean, that was a really good one too. Man, but I think, you know, the one that really like stood out, and I think it still stands out, is definitely the Dipset and the Lox one. Because, you know, even though like I grew up, you know, in the 90s, and of course like I knew, you know, who the Lox were, but I was really like, especially like people in my generation, like we were really like fucking with Dipset, you know what I'm saying? Like Cam, Juelz, you know, Jim Jones, Freaky Zeke. Like, I mean, I remember like the whole like the sweatbands and like the wristbands. Like it was kind of like the red, white, blue joints. Like I remember like wearing that shit. I remember like rocking that shit. If I can find that picture, man, like, yo, like you couldn't tell me I wasn't a part of Rockefeller. Like you could not tell me I wasn't a part of Rockefeller. Like I had the S Dot Carters, okay. I had the S Dots, okay. I had a pair of the S Dots. I think I had two pair of the S Dots. I had like one like Rockaway velour fucking tracksuit that I like wore to like no end. Man, like you could not tell me I wasn't a part of Rockefeller. So I was definitely, of course, I was rooting for Dipset. But let me tell you something, man. Just that whole, you know, performance, because that's exactly what it was. It was a performance. That legit, I think that really kind of woke up like the younger generation when it comes to what hip hop actually is. You know, like it's not all about, you know, you talking about how much money you can get, or you know, the women you could pull, you know what I'm saying, the clothes that you got, you know, rocking the ice, you feel me? Like it's not all about that, you know what I'm saying? Like granted, you know, yeah, they were talking about that too, but when it comes to like your delivery, when it comes to your lyricism, when it comes to just like your wordplay, like that was all on that stage that night. And I mean, Jadakiss, man, like I don't really like, I don't have him, you know what I'm saying, like on my Mount Rushmore. But when it comes to, you know, like top 10, you know what I'm saying, top 15, top 20, you know, MCs, rappers, he's definitely got to be on that list. He's definitely got to be on that list, man. Because, you know, J to the moi. You know what I'm saying? Like the dude, I mean, I think that's probably one of the reasons why 50 didn't really beef with Jada. Because if y'all remember, you know, when 50 was like beefing with everybody, everybody that you know, had anything to do with Murder, Inc., anything to do with Ja Rule, he was going at him. But I think that's probably one of the reasons why he ain't stepped to Jada. Because, man, look, let me tell you. Jada, you know, versus 50 when it comes to just, you know, lyrics, when it comes to being a rapper, being an MC, yeah, 50 is nowhere near him. Like, don't get me wrong, like 50 got bars, he definitely got bars, but I don't think it's on the level of Jada. And you know, I think what a lot of people kind of, I don't know, maybe because it's like it's presented as, you know, two people going head to head. So the natural thing is to, you know, think of it as a competition. But to be honest, I don't even think like that was like the true like premise behind Versus. Like I just honestly think it was just, you know, two people that, you know, were kind of not necessarily like always, you know, pit, you know, against each other or put against each other, but you know, two people that kind of like wore, or kind of like, I don't want to say identical, but they were like definitely like compared to a lot, You know what I'm saying? Or they were, you know, within like the same style, like the same vibe, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you guys just showcasing, you know, what you've done, you know what I'm saying? Showcasing your artistry. Because I, to be honest, I think it was, you know, us, like the audience, the people that really kind of started doing the whole, like, taking, you know, like tally and like seeing like who won each round and shit. I think that was us, you know? But yeah, man, let me tell you, if they actually do, you know, a versus with, you know, So Def and Bad Boy, like that'll be a moment. That'll definitely be a moment. But yeah, man, like, you know, when I was talking about the whole like Erykah Badu and like Jill Scott, that versus like the whole neo soul era, like that was an era where I just feel like a lot of realness, like that's where a lot of realness like resided when it came to, you know, vulnerability, when it came to, you know, just, you know, like that's soulful music that makes you feel like, you know, cornbread, collard greens, you know what I'm saying, black eyed peas, like, you know, like that feeling of like, you know, Sunday dinner, you know, like that. I think that's, to me, that's what the whole neo soul era was. Because I mean, and for some reason, I just feel like during that era, like you had to have, like, as far as wardrobe was concerned, it was like brown and like blue jean. Like you had to have some sort of brown clothing and some sort of like blue jean, you know, I don't get this hat, you know, jacket, pants, shirt. Like you had that was like the thing that you basically had to like wear, you know what I'm saying, in order for you to be considered like a part of neo soul. And you know, I just think like, you know, I'm pretty sure there's artists out there that, you know, can kind of fit, you know, in that. But for the most part, you know, you don't really have artists, you know, like Erykah, you know, like Jill, like Music, you know, Soulchild, like Heather Headley, you know, like, you know, I don't want to mispronounce her name, but I think it's like Amel LaRue. You know, I know she was like the lead singer of Groove Theory. I mean, I would fit Lauryn Hill in neo soul as well. You know, I think she's kind of like a mix. She's kind of like in a lane on her own, you know what I'm saying, or of her own. Like, I mean, neo soul, R&B, hip hop, like she can be, you know, any and everything. But you know, just those types of artists, man. Like, and another thing, I think like in that era, that was when I was like introduced to VH1 Soul. And if anybody that was growing up in, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, when you were getting ready for school, you had on VH1 Soul, you know, or you had like just VH1, you know, in the morning, because they would like show music. They would show music videos in the morning. But VH1 Soul, man, okay? Like, I mean, Ruffians. It was like, I think it was like Ruffians. Was it Someone to Love You? Like, they used to play that like all day, every day. What's his name? I think it's like Jimmy Cozier or something like that. Sometimes I love her, sometimes I love her not, but I ain't letting it go, 'cause she's all I got. Yeah, man. Like, man, like it was. That was a moment, man. Like you had to be there. You definitely had to be there. But yeah, man, like I wish that, you know, we can kind of get back to that. You know, like I said, music that just, you know, just makes you feel good. You know what I'm saying? And you know, like I said, it's not to discredit any of the artists out there. That's not to say that there's, you know, no artists out there that's giving that. But it just needs to be, you know, on a bigger scale, you know. And I remember like watching Diddy's Breakfast Club interview, and you know, he was just talking about, you know, his whole tweet where he was like, R&B is dead. For one, I think he was just doing that shit just to like promote, you know, his stuff and to get people, you know, talk about it. But from what he was saying, you know, when it came to like R&B is dead, it was just that when it comes to like the resources, when it comes to, you know, it being on a larger scale and presented to, you know, a larger audience, you know, it's definitely dead. And, you know, I can wholeheartedly agree with that, because, you know, hip hop has basically been in the forefront, I mean, for decades now, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, R&B is not, you know, where it was, you know what I'm saying? Like the 90s, you know, early 2000s, you know, it's not on that scale anymore, you know? And so, you know, that's kind of how I feel with, you know, the whole neo soul genre, you know, like it's not where it was. And I just wish that, you know, things could kind of get back to how it was, you know what I'm saying? So to bring more, you know, recognition and more exposure, you know, to those artists out there that, you know, that fall into that category. Because it's a lot of, you know, artists out there that, you know, has the talent and the capabilities to get put, you know, into those positions, into that, you know, spotlight. But, you know, if you don't have the right team around you, if you don't have, you know, just the right people around you, you know, that can elevate you, then, you know, it's kind of like, damn, what can you do, you know? But, you know, like I said, I just hope that hopefully, you know, within the years to come, that R&B can really get back to, you know, how it was, you know what I'm saying? And that kind of like leads me to like my next topic, you know. When it came to like rap, and like I said, you know, rap is still, you know, the leading like genre. I mean, it's in everything, you know. It's in, you know, TV, it's in movies, it's in commercials, it's in, you know, sports. Like it's in everything. The culture is in everything. Okay. And you know, hip hop is definitely a male dominated, you know, genre, or male dominated industry, or male dominated sport. You know what I'm saying? But you know, you definitely have your women, you know, your women, like female rap is definitely coming back, and it's definitely coming back with a vengeance. You know, because at one point in time, especially like in the 90s, you know, you had your Missy's, you had your you know, Queen Latifah's, you had your Brats, you had, you know, your Foxy Browns, your Lil Kim's, you know, your Trina's, your Shauna's, your your Rashida's. I just had to throw that in there. But you know, you had a variety of, you know, female rap, but then it was like that kind of died down, you know, that definitely died down a lot. And then, you know, lo and behold, you know, Gucci Mane, you know, has this one, you know, woman that hailed from, you know, Southside Jamaica, Queens, you feel me? That was just like spitting like the niggas, you feel me? That was right there with him. And if you don't know who I'm talking about Onika Minaj. Well, I'm sorry, Onika Mirage, but aka Nicki Minaj. And you know, I've been rocking with Nicki since the beginning, you feel me? Like, especially like in college, like that was like my nickname. Like my nickname was Young Money. You feel me? Like, because I loved, for one, of course, like, to me, Wayne is like the GOAT. But Young Money kind of reminded me of like, you know, Rockefeller, of Bad Boy, of Death Row. You know, a label that has like fucking, you know, talent, you know what I'm saying? Star-studded talent, you know, a label that, you know, has just like fucking just masterful lyricism, you know what I'm saying? Like, granted, now that's, I ain't gonna say that was everybody, okay? Because, you know, some of those labels, it wasn't everybody. But for the most part, you know, you had like just motherfuckers that did their thing when it came to, you know, rapping. And, you know, Drake and Nicki, like, they were like my, you know, my top two, you feel me? And, you know, when it came to, you know, Playtime Is Over, when it came to Beam Me Up Scotty, like, that just like sent her through the roof, like through the fucking stratosphere, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it was her for like a long period of time, you know what I'm saying? For like, you know, 10 plus years, it was kind of like just her, like on a, you know, mainstream scale, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, some women, they may not, you know, want to admit to it, but a lot of y'all out there, y'all were definitely calling yourselves barbs, you know what I'm saying? Y'all was definitely rocking, you know, the bangs and, you know, the different color, you know, like whatever you want to call, like the highlights or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like you were definitely a barb, okay? And then, like, you know, the guys, like the gay guys, y'all were kins, okay? But, you know, I think, and this is just, you know, my opinion, but I think when Nicki, I don't want to say, you know, it was solely when she hooked up with Meek, but I think that was a part of it. When she, you know, her and, you know, Meek Mill were dating, and then, I think it was like the VMAs. I don't know if it was like 20. I can't remember. I don't know if it was like 2015, 2016, something like that. Whenever, like, I think like Miley Cyrus was like hosting or whatever. And, you know, she had won like some award or whatever. And she was accepting the award. And, you know, she was just saying her, you know, her little spiel. And all of a sudden she was just like, Miley, what's good? And it wasn't like a Miley was good, like, you know, like shouting her out or some shit. No, it was really like on some like, bitch, what the fuck is up? You feel me? And, you know, if it's one thing that I know about the music industry, when it comes to certain Caucasian artists, you can't just like step to them no any kind of way without having some form of backlash. And in my eyes, I think it's Miley. It's definitely Taylor Swift. It used to be Katy Perry, but I don't really think, you know, not so much. Shit, Madonna. I mean, I want to say, you know, Carrie Underwood, but maybe not. I'm going to throw Billie Eilish in there because she's kind of like, you know, getting that, you know, type of attention. But mainly like Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift at that time. Nah, man. Like you can't just step and talk, you know, to those two no any kind of way. Cause I mean, case in point, look at Kanye West. And that's like a whole nother episode for a whole nother day. But I mean, just look at what he did, you know, with, you know, the whole VMAs again, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm gonna let you finish, you know, but Beyonce had the greatest video of all time. And then like, what happened? You know what I'm saying? He definitely like, he took a little hit, you know, he took a little hit after that. But it's just like, you can't. And I think that was like the start of I don't want to say her downfall, but it was just the start of, you know, just things not really looking too good for her. And, you know, the whole Nikki hate train, you feel me? Like, it was definitely, you know, live and well, okay? And, you know, she had every right to fight back. You know what I'm saying? She had every right to fight back. But I just think now, with everything that's been going on, you know, with, you know, her and, like, Lotto, and then her and Meg, and then, like, her, of course, like, her and Cardi, we already know that. But it's just like, Nikki, come on, my girl. It's like, I'm not going to consider myself a Barb. I'm just a really, you know, big Nikki fan. But it's like, you're really making it hard for, you know, people that are Nikki fans to, like, really continue to, like, defend you. Because it's like, you don't have to. You really don't have to. Like, you don't have to. Like, I don't really know, like, the full backstory between her and Lotto. You know, I've kind of, you know, got, like, a little glimpse, you know, when it comes. I think, like, it was, like, from, like, the Grammys where, you know, they have, like, Freaky Girl. Like, it was in, like, a pop, you know, category. And then, like, Big Energy was, like, in the rap or whatever. And she kind of felt some kind of way because, like, you mean to tell me Big Energy, you know, is rap and, like, Freaky Girl is pop. And it's just, and I'm just like, now granted, don't get me wrong, the Grammys have definitely been fucking my girl over. They've definitely been fucking my girl over. But, you know, my thing is just like, come on, Nikki, like, if you're gonna go at people, and not even that, like you've constantly said that, yeah, there's, you know, big corporate giants and machines, you know, trying to end you. You know what I'm saying? You've been saying that for I don't know how long, and we get it. But it's like, now, you know, you're really looking like a mean girl. You're really looking like a bully, because it's just like, you have, if there was a point in time where it was just you, you know, and I'm pretty sure, you know, you were okay with that. But we're moving into a different time, into a different era, where it's not just you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're really like the OG now. You feel me? And, you know, you were, you know, I guess, like, you were close with Meg. But then, you know, when Meg ventured off and collaborated with Cardi, you felt some kind of way about that. And then, you know, all right, City Girls, you know what I'm saying? When, you know, in the beginning, they, you know, said what they said. They tweeted what they tweeted and shit. But then, you know, they, of course, were begging and pleading, you know, trying to get a, you know, a feature from you and shit. And then all of a sudden, okay, yeah, now I don't know about Carisha, but, you know, JT, like, you know, you cool with JT. And it's just like I was talking to my girlfriend, and I was just like, I really feel like, you know, she's like how 50 was. Like, legit, anybody that was working with, you know, your, you know, quote unquote nemesis, it was like you was going at them. And I'm just like, come on, man. Like, just chill out. You know what I'm saying? You are a mother. You are a wife. You know, regardless of, you know, your husband's situation. At the end of the day, you are a mother and a wife. I mean, nobody can take away your talent. Nobody can take away what you've done just for, you know, female rap. Nobody can do that. But it's just like, baby girl, like, stop. It's like, stop. Like, I love you. I really do love you, but you're making it hard. You're definitely making it hard. So, yeah, man. And that kind of leads me into, like, you know, another topic when it comes to, like, people beefing. Quavo and Lil Baby. Now, you know, Quavo and Takeoff and Lil Baby, you know, they all just, like, recently dropped, you know, new albums. I haven't really listened to Lil Baby's as of yet. From just the reviews that I've seen thus far, you know, they haven't really been good ones. But I mean, hey, you know, I'll definitely, you know, make my own judgment later on. But Quavo and Takeoff's like they really do have like a real solid, you know, cohesive project, man. And let me tell you something, like, even though like Offset was like my favorite, Takeoff by far is he's the most lyrical one out of the three of them. Yeah, he's definitely earned that. But let me tell you something, Quavo, baby boy, like, are you hurt? Like, are you hurt? Because I mean, he come out the gate, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't put that bitch on nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't put that whole nut. Like, are you hurt? Like, you're sounding bitter. You're sounding bitter. And you know, the one, I guess, like the one little line that, you know, I've heard from Lil Baby, you know, talking about like, you know, like she took a picture like without him knowing, and now, you know what I'm saying, got people in his business and shit like that, or something to the effect of that. And I'm just like, y'all mad at the wrong person. You know what I'm saying? Y'all need to take that up with you know, Mr. Weedy. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, if I was a little baby nigga, I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Okay? I don't blame him, you know. Because if it was me, I probably would have done the same thing. Okay? especially, you know what I'm saying? Especially if like y'all, you know, her and Quavo, you know, were apart, you know what I'm saying? Like they had broken up. Oh yeah, it's game on, you feel me? Like we on go, you feel me? But I know like a lot of people probably thought like it was like Offset or whatever. And you know what's crazy, that I haven't really like heard a lot of you know, rumors or news about Offset. So kudos to you, my man, if you like, you know, keeping it in your pants, okay? But yeah, man, and you know, I don't want to like run my time out, but I do want to kind of touch on, like I said, I was gonna talk about some sports. I do want to touch on, you know, two of my teams, the Lakers and the Saints. You know, the Lakers, they played the Warriors last night. That's all I'm gonna say about that. I mean, Russ actually looked pretty good, you know. Of course, you know, he still has turnovers or whatever, but you know, just I mean, at this point, it's just like I don't even know who the Lakers could get, you know, to replace Russ. I don't know. I just don't know. And my Saints, like, the fuck are y'all doing, bro? Like, y'all are moving backwards. Like, Pete Carmichael, I'm sorry, bro, but you need to go. You have got to go. Like, you legit have to go, because it's like, my nigga, what are you doing? What type of plays are you calling? The coach, I ain't gonna lie, man, the coaching at like just kind of across the board in the NFL, it's definitely it's not how it can be. Like, coaching legit sucks across the league this year, this season. But you know, hey man, it is what it is. But like I said, my Saints, man, like they play, you know, Arizona on tomorrow. You know, hopefully, you know, we can right the ship, you feel me, and you know, kind of like pledge ahead, because at least in the NFC South, it's really not that competitive. So you know, we may have, you know, a chance to do some shit, to do some things. But man, like the last game, bro, like you had Taysom Hill when we played against Seattle a week ago. You had Taysom Hill, like this man ran for like 75,000 yards. You know, he had like, I don't know how many like touchdowns. I mean, the only thing that he didn't do is fucking punt. And like he didn't like kick a field goal, but like everything else, like my nigga did, okay? Like he was probably like playing defense too, okay? But you had this man do all this shit, And then you don't even fucking play him like the second half of the last game. It's like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Then you had, you know, Rashid Shaheed, you know, man has speed on him, okay? He goes for like a 44, you know, yard rushing touchdown, you know, dusted fucking Eli Apple, sorry ass. And then he doesn't even touch the field, like, afterwards. Are you, let me not say touch the field, because he did, but, like, because I think, like, he was supposed to, you know, I think he was, like, the kick returner, but, you know, he didn't have a chance to return a kick, but he didn't even, like, touch the field, like, on offense, you know, since that play. And I'm just like, what? Especially when you down, like, all, you know, all three of your starting wide receivers. You know, you don't even have this man touch the field again. And especially, you know, we were, you know, out Olave, you know, the rookie. Because, you know, he's kind of like our speed. I'm just like, Carmichael, what are you doing? Like, my nigga, you have been with the Saints organization. I'm going to, you know, assume. But I think he has been there probably like the same amount of time that Peyton was there. So, you know, you've been there a decade plus, and you mean to tell me that you haven't, like, learned from Peyton? Like, you can't take hold, you know, the reins? Like, come on, man. Come on, bro. Like, I really feel like, you know, maybe, you know, DA, like, if you can't make, like, those, you know, decisions when it comes to, you know, what needs to happen with the game plan. If you can't make those tough decisions, my nigga, then you don't need to be the head coach. You don't, you know, and that's okay. You know, you could definitely go back, you know, to defensive coordinator, but I just feel like we need better coaching. You know, maybe if we have better coaching, maybe, you know, that'll give us, you know, a chance, you know, to make a playoff run. But it's just like the team is like, it's lacking that spark. It's lacking that grittiness. It's lacking a whole bunch of shit across the board, man. And I'm just like, y'all need to get y'all shit together, bro. Cause it's really getting hard to root for y'all motherfuckers when y'all keep constantly like shooting yourself in the foot. And like my defense, it's like, the fuck are y'all doing? Like, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, Honey Badger. Yeah. You know, nigga, you back home, you feel me? It's a homecoming, I get it. But you starting to look washed. You feel me? Like, outside of that one interception that you got when we played against, you know, Minnesota and in London, I mean, because the ball was damn near thrown to you, so you had no choice but to catch it. Like, you really haven't been producing much. I mean, Cam Jordan, you've been, like, inconsistent as a motherfucker. Davenport, like, I don't even know why you over there. You know, the only people that's on defense that's been kind of being consistent, and that's, you know, every fucking game, like DeMario Davis and the Caucasian dude, Pete Werner, you know, them the only two that's been like fucking consistent. So it's just like, get it together, okay? Just get it together. But, you know, we shall see. When it comes, you know, to the game tomorrow when they play against Arizona, I think D-Hop is supposed to be back. So that'll be, you know, something. I don't know. I checked the injury report, and I think I did see Marshawn on there, but I can't remember if he was listed as out or if he was listed as questionable. I think he was listed as questionable, so hopefully, like, they'll, you know, he'll give it a go. So that way, you know, at least we can have, you know, one of our, you know, starting, you know, cornerbacks in. I think what Alante Taylor is supposed to be back. So, you know, hopefully, you know, he can be back and we can have, you know, some sort of like secondary, you know what I'm saying, like help. Paulson Adebo, you know what I'm saying? Like he I think he was coming off an injury too. I mean, he played okay. I seen Marcus May was back, so you know he definitely did his thing. So you know we just need to get it the fuck together. That's all I gotta say. We just need to get it the fuck together. But other than that, man, you know, appreciate y'all, you know, locking in with me and, you know, listening to me, you know, hearing my takes on, you know, music and all that other stuff. But, yeah, man, until next time, you know, I'll definitely, you know, keep getting better. Like I said, like I always say, you know what I'm saying? Hit me up, let me know what you think. You know, whether it be constructive criticism, whether it be feedback, whether it be, you know, giving me ideas, topics, suggestions, whatever the case may be, you know what I'm saying? I'm up for it. You know, I'll definitely, you know, welcome it. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that, you know? So, you know, hopefully, like I said, in the near future, you know, I'll bring on, you know, some guests. So that way, you know, we can make it a little bit, you know, more conversational. You know what I'm saying? So, but other than that, y'all, like I said, I appreciate y'all locking in with me, and until next time.